First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth! Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots, and jackbooted thugs alike. It is that time again. It is the Hour of Power, the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network, Tuesday Night Truth, with your host, yours truly, Dale the Truth. How the hell are you doing? The date is Tuesday, November the 18th. Week. Hopefully you didn't miss us too badly. It seems like it's been a long time since we've been in here, and just reminded that we have not gotten to open up the chat room yet. I apologize, but just talking to our producer there, the guy who runs the network, Big Ed Springsteen. We'll get him on here in just a moment. But anyway, it is Tuesday, November the 18th, and again, last time we were here was on election night, and it's one of those things. We knew how the elections were going to work out, and unfortunately, we know that we still have a very corrupt city in Louisville, Kentucky, because some of the same people in the Black Moomoos got reelected. That's something that we did our best to try to oust some of the criminal element that wears the Black Moomoos, but Louisville likes the good old boy network. What can I tell you? We'll get into some national good old boys here in a couple of minutes, but Louisville loves this good old boy network. I don't know how else to say it. It's just one of those things that these things too shall pass. We try and try here on the network between Ed's show and Ken Molman's show to let people know what's going on. But some of the same criminal element gets reelected. What can I tell you? We know we have a Republican Party that wouldn't run a legitimate candidate for mayor. And if they had, he probably could have beaten little Greg Fisher. Would have been a good race for Hal Heiner to run again, but I guess he prefers to lose a gubernatorial primary in May than to be mayor. I don't know. It's neither here nor there. But anyway, it is Tuesday, November 18th, and we'll start out, as we always do, with This Week in History. We go back to this week in 1777. The Articles of Confederation were adopted. This week in 1863, the Gettysburg Address. And the one I wanted to take a moment to opine on this date in 1734, I know the government indoctrination camps called public schools probably didn't tell you about this one, but this date in 1734 was when Peter Zenger was arrested. And for those of you all saying, who the hell is Peter Zenger? He was a printer and a publisher of the New York Weekly Journal. And the history of libel in the United States can be traced directly to John Peter Zenger. Libel, of course, is material that is known to be false. It usually includes verbal attacks on people, usually public figures like government officials or celebrities. Well, Zenger was a printer, and like I said, he was with the New York Weekly Journal, and he stood accused of printing comments that were critical of the British governor of New York, William Cosby. Zenger began publishing his newspaper late in 1733, and like I said, on this date in 1734, which is now 280 years ago today, he was arrested and thrown in jail. Now, the laws prohibiting libel at that time meant you could not print anything bad about the government, or you'd be arrested. I'm sure they like that idea today up in the White House. They probably want to bring that back. But Zenger was publishing words that were critical of Governor Cosby, and the governor didn't like it. So he whined and moaned and bitched and ultimately had Zenger arrested and thrown in jail. Now, the young printer sat in jail for 8 months until his case came to trial. And interest in the case grew and grew, and with both sides taking a keen interest, he finally got a chance to have his say in court. And he was defended by a brilliant young attorney. I realize brilliant an attorney sometimes is an oxymoron, but he was defended by a brilliant young attorney that you probably have heard of by the name of Andrew Hamilton. His brother was Alexander Hamilton of the Founding Fathers. And Andrew Hamilton had seen a way to make a name for himself and his client. He also saw a way to change the face of the libel laws in America. His strategy argued that it's not libel if it's true. And Governor Cosby could not do much to dispute what Zenger had in his newspaper. Rather, they arrested him instead because they could not argue with the truth. And that's what we tell you on this network all the time, folks. They call it hate speech sometimes, what we say. And to that I say, yes, truth is hate to those who hate the truth. It was a novel idea that John Peter Zenger had in the 1700s that challenged every royal law on the books concerning newspapers and public announcements and what you could say and what you couldn't say. And Andrew Hamilton, was asking for a fundamental reexamination of what these laws meant and what they prohibited. Andrew Hamilton also changed American courts for the better by arguing his case directly to the jury prior to this time, the usual practice was to argue one's case to the judge, the guy or gal, probably a guy back then in the black muumuu, who then had the alternative option to then explain to the jury what he thought the verdict should be. You had to go through the judge to get to the jury. It's almost like people who think they had to go to the Pope to get to God, which is just ridiculous. And the jury was little more than a group of yes men. And again, it was men because women were not allowed yet. But Hamilton involved them directly in all that was going on. He wanted them to make their own minds up on what was libel and what was truth. And make up their own minds they did, they returned a verdict of not guilty. And Zenger was free from prison, free to resume publication of his newspaper, free to keep on telling the truth about the government, no matter how much the government didn't like it. So when the Bill of Rights was added to the Constitution almost 50 years later, one of the main parts of the First Amendment was government protection of freedom of the press. And it was very clear to me, this is one that we had to memorize when you get a degree in communications. First Amendment, they always want you to memorize it. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of the people peacefully to assemble in order to petition government for a redress of grievances. But this action had its beginnings in the case of one John Peter Zenger, arrested for telling the truth on this date in 1734. And mentioning people who tell the truth about the government, and thank God they don't have these laws in society today, we're going to bring on Ed Springsteen. Ed, are you with us?
I'm here, man. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay, my friend. It was a little ruffled with my notes getting started since I had to report another neighbor for leaving their dogs down the cold. I'm sure that you agree with me, Mr. Springsteen, as a free public service announcement. Please take your dogs inside when it's 10 degrees outside.
Oh, 100%. I tell you what, there's nothing worse than leaving an animal outside this kind of stuff. And, you know, truthfully, I've seen so many people do that. I've actually called animal control on neighbors. I've knocked on their door. I've taken their animals away from them and brought them into my house. It really makes them mad. They don't like that a whole lot. You know, but most of the time, I think I just soon go ahead and take the animal, put them in the house, and take the humans and put them outside and let them just sleep outside one night, see how they like it. It's disgusting.
Well, like I said, Ed, we got started tonight. I wanted to bring up that case of what was libel and the definition of libel over history. And I'm sure a lot of local officials here wish they could bring those laws back when it comes to the case of yourself, sir.
I tell you, you know, I get libeled all the time. People libel me and slander me all the time. And, of course, government officials would love nothing better than to have a law out there that tells me to shut up today, especially here in Louisville, Kentucky. I mean, these guys run scared every time I post an article or open my mouth because they don't know where the next lawsuit or the next charge is going to come from. And, you know, it really is interesting, though, when you talk about Zenger like that, because I tell you, you know, there is a double standard with that. Even though you're not allowed to talk about the government, apparently elected officials are allowed to talk about you. And a case in point, you know, we had this election a couple of weeks ago, and Judge-elect Denise Brown, you know, I did a big story on catching her doing illegal things. She went out and was illegally taking her opponent's campaign signs, got caught on tape, and all this other stuff. Well, it was fascinating because she immediately takes to Facebook. It goes to every attorney on Facebook. She clearly is an idiot, doesn't know everybody I know. But she goes to every attorney on Facebook and puts a big post on all their Facebook pages that Ed Springsteen is a liar, that, you know, and all this other stuff, right? So she's trying to say I'm a liar. And it's really fascinating because she's saying the same thing publicly down at City Hall, down at the Justice and everything else, the Hall of Justice downtown at 6th and Jefferson. She's saying it to attorneys, calling them and everything else, saying the same thing. Ed Springsteen is a liar. Now, understand, this is all video with her, the only person in the video committing this crime. And she just got elected judge. So there's going to be a lawsuit against her coming forward. I'm really curious to see how the legal system wants to handle when you've got a judge calling the act of illegal behavior. going out and libeling someone like me. So we'll see how much money it's worth.
The perfect example, Ed, of what Zenger was talking about 280 years ago, because you have video proof that she was doing it, so she has no argument against what you're claiming she does. She can't defend herself against the accusation because it's true. So when they can't argue the truth, they want to holler libel, and that's why I think that's the perfect example that goes on today. I'm sure that the local government officials, our state government's getting a little bit better. I'm still sure that Governor Papaw Bashir and all the way up to the illegal immigrant in chief in the White House, I'm sure they all wish that they could bring back those laws. So thankfully that Zenger went before us to get that done, or we'd be in big trouble. But it all goes back to the good old boy now. Network, and another good old boy that I want to bring up tonight. And we've, I know I've railed on this guy for a long time, and he's known as the Prince of Pork in Kentucky, and apparently he's a Republican in name only. We knew that was obvious, not apparent, but he's Obama's greatest ally in the amnesty battle, and that's good old Mr. Rogers, Representative Hal Rogers. Have you heard about this story yet?
I'm familiar with Hal Rogers, but I'm not sure which story you're going to, so please go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there's no better proof of the fact that he is the greatest ally in Obama's battle. I go back to the fact that conservative headquarters, CHQ Chairman Richard Viguri, made the point in his book Takeover that the greatest impediment to governing America is not the Democrats, but it's the progressive establishment Republican Party. And like I said, Hal Rogers is the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee. He just got elected and or reelected, and he's in charge of that committee, and it's where the battle over Obama's plan to grant an unconstitutional amnesty for millions of illegal aliens plays out. And we're finding out now that Rogers is getting a lot of kickbacks from this. We're finding out that that his contributors and his big money donors are all tied into this, and he keeps getting reelected down there in the Somerset area of South Central Kentucky. Nobody has the balls to step up and run against him. But the bottom line is he is making the case to skeptical conservatives at these caucus meetings that we should just leave this alone and let him do whatever he wants because he's in Obama's back pocket. And this is something that's going on, and people don't realize what a scumbag that Rogers is because they think, oh, he's a Republican, so he can't be bad. But it's this push for an omnibus that's a gross display of hypocrisy by him. He spent most of his chairmanship calling for appropriations to be handled in regular order. Now he's just saying it's okay that Obama wants to do this all behind the Republican Congress and the Republican Senate.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, I don't know how many people pay attention to the Cruz list, but CruzMostCorrupt.org, they've got a list out every year they put out as the most corrupt politicians. Yep. And, you know, and you're exactly right about Hal Rogers. I mean, Hal Rogers has been in the Kentucky 5th District for, I think, about 16 or 17 terms now. He's been here a long time. But he's been under investigation by the U.S. Army's Office of the IG for millions of dollars in earmarks to a company whose owners and lobbyists have donated thousands of dollars to his campaign, thousands of dollars to his leadership PAC. He's one of two members from Congress that have been named to from Kentucky that's been named on the Cruz Most Corrupt list more than once. I mean, he's been named on this thing in 2007, 2008, 2011, 2012. Once again, you know, this guy is – I don't even know. When we talk about Welcome to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, we're no longer talking about a spinoff of Sesame Street, okay? This guy is
trying to help
buys everything.
Yeah, he's desperately trying to help implement this executive amnesty program. I'm going back to another one I saw today over at townhall.com where just today he was in a House Republican conference meeting, and again, he pitched a plan to his fellow Republicans in the conference meeting to fully fund the federal government, including Obama's amnesty now, so we don't have to worry about having to fight with him. So instead of fighting with him, just give him what he wants so we won't have to fight. That's the most ridiculous thing. He's no conservative, but by opposing, including language that would prohibit Obama's amnesty for legal aliens, it just retains Republicans' power, and it shows that they're not going to do anything. We knew that when Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr. Beat the hell out of Alison Grimes, that he was not going to do anything. We knew he wasn't going to do anything on Obamacare. We knew it was all just hot air when he said, oh, we're going to cut out Obamacare ranch and root. We knew that wasn't true. We knew he wasn't going to do anything about amnesty either. I mean, Rogers is proving that he does not have a clue about what motivated the grassroots to turn out and vote Republican. He's oblivious to it. He just looks the other way. But there's an old bit of Washington wisdom that says there are three political parties on Capitol Hill, the Democrats, the Republicans, and the appropriators. And even people like Karl Rove, as evil as he is, and Reince Priebus, what a name for the RNC chairman, say that Obama's amnesty program is illegal and wrong, and the Republicans should stop it at all costs. So who's going to stop it, Ed?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I really don't know. I mean, it takes people like us and what we've been doing on a local level, but it takes some major funding. I tell you, you know, we've been very fortunate here in Louisville. no offense, I hate to pat myself on the back, but I will in this case because you've got me in Louisville. I've taken down the most powerful in Louisville so far and continue to do. But there's an excellent story coming out of Illinois. Two gentlemen, former veterans, I mean, they're veterans of the military, have actually been responsible for forcing 102 resignations of public officials. They did a citizen's arrest on a local, our version of Metro Council. These guys have had phenomenal success. They got really angry after Blago up in Illinois got nailed and decided to go to war. And these two guys have been an incredible example to follow. I wish we could get more organized here in Louisville and have the same effect here, but we're doing okay so far. I mean, we've gotten the reins pulled in on a couple of people. We've had one council person impeached. I mean, there's progress being made. It's just slow here. I don't know where these guys are getting their funding, but I'd love to have a piece of that pie because I tell you, we could get so much more done. We could get so much more done.
Illinois, we've said for a long time, has a direct shoot from the governor's mansion to the prison because we've seen over time five or six Illinois governors that went to prison right afterwards, and it's definitely something that that we need to have more people do that of. Didn't he basically go in and you know, wasn't there like a citizen's arrest on the entire group?
It was. One of the things that they did was a citizen's arrest on the entire group. So the council called the sheriff. The reason they called a citizen's arrest was because they were holding illegal meetings. I mean, they're supposed to, according to their open meetings laws, they're supposed to be open to the public. The public's supposed to have discussion, everything else, and they were violating every part of it. So these actual politicians called the sheriff to come in and arrest them and take them out of there. And instead, the sheriff sided with them. He says, "We live in America. We don't live in a communistic society. This is America, and in America we have free speech, and they're supposed to be allowed the right to speak. So I'm not going to bottom. Continue on." They didn't know what to do. It freaked them out. It freaked them out badly. So, you know, these guys have had a lot of success. You know, and there are some around the country that do that, that have had good success. We've had our success here. What's really interesting to me, though, the biggest measure of success, if you will, to me is in elections. Mm-hmm. You know, and our election a couple of weeks ago was fascinating to me. It just goes to show you how backwards Kentucky really is. But, you know, the whole entire country switched surface and changed, you know, they changed momentum completely. You know, the Democrats who should have been able to keep their job didn't. Hillary and Bill Clinton were at the forefront campaigning for everybody. They lost. Everybody lost that the Clinton supported. You know, and it became a big wave and a referendum, if you will, when you take all these Democrats out of office and put Republicans in. Now, you and I both know it's the uniparty. One face is the same as the other, no matter which party you're part of. But it was an excellent example of how people can make a difference, whether you think that there's going to be a change or not. You know, and to me, that was the good thing. Here in Kentucky, nothing changed at all at any level. No. Every local level stayed the same. The state stayed the same.
Right. And we know the biggest problem, Ed, is too many people will look at the government as a composite and say, oh, it's horrible, it's corrupt. And we hear about the horrible approval ratings that they all get. But people keep reelecting their own congressman. It's that whole thing, oh, not my congressman. He's doing a good job. And we see that happen in Kentucky. They keep saying how Roger's back. We see every congressman in Kentucky, and I would argue not only one of the six congressmen in Kentucky is doing a good job, and it's Thomas Massie. I wish he were instead the House Appropriations Committee chairman, but they keep reelecting Hal Rogers, even though he's the Prince of Pork and he's chairman in the Appropriations Committee. They obviously keep electing John Yarmuth. He, I think, I didn't study the numbers close enough, but I think he won his biggest race he's ever won over his Republican opponent. We know that the Republican opponent was kind of handcuffed. He wasn't really allowed to campaign as much as he should have, and he had no platform on which to run against Yarmuth, but people keep reelecting their own congressmen. So I think it was something like 80-some percent of incumbents got reelected, and that's not even considering the fact that some finally got the hell out because they saw when the gravy train's up, they don't want to be there when it's time to pay the bills. But again, we got the Hal Rogers Parkway out there that's named after him. I mean, this guy gets $5 million for quote-unquote conservative groups that work with these wildcats, and the groups that benefit from some of his money are guess what? The Namibia-based Cheetah Conservation Fund. You want to guess who one of the top officials is with the Cheetah Conservation Fund?
Oh, man, I don't even want to go there. But
Hal Rogers' daughter.
Oh, there's a big surprise. And you're absolutely right. I mean, the Hal Rogers Parkway was the Daniel Boone Parkway. Now, Daniel Boone, of course, is a historic figure for Kentucky, and it should have remained the Daniel Boone Parkway, in most people's opinion, but that's what happens when you get money. Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned some names there. At the top of the show, you mentioned Greg Fisher and how easily he would have been beat. You know, one of the biggest problems.
He could have been run against him again.
Oh, he could have been beat by anybody. Credible. But, you know, one of the things, if you look at it, Greg Fisher got 68% of the vote running essentially against himself. That's a hell of a comment of how many people dislike him as mayor. But the last number I got was about 40% of the people who voted in Louisville and Jefferson County voted straight party Democrat ticket. So out of that 68% he got, how many of those are just because of a straight party? And that's what we need to get changed in Kentucky if we want to move forward. A lot of these people are being reelected because of a straight party ticket option that they have. There are people in the down races who nobody's ever heard of. You know, they're getting elected because they're running in a race that has a D behind their name or an R behind their name or whatever. Hal Rogers is the epitome of what's wrong with Kentucky. You know, and to me, I mean, he's really no different than David Blackjack Williams, as you call him. And if we need further proof that the unit party is alive and well, let's look at what happened there. David Williams was only continued to keep his job because he was buying the vote in his hometown. And when he ran against Steve Beshear for governor in the last election, what happened as soon as the race was over? He got a judge appointment by who? Governor Steve Beshear, a lifetime judge appointment. So that's the unit party alive and well. And
I mean, a lot of
people
didn't want to look the other way. A lot of people in that race, I'm glad you brought up that governor's race from now 3 years ago, since we have another governor's race on the horizon next year, because a lot of people didn't want to look the other way, or they did look the other way, but they didn't want to look at other candidates. They only want to look at the unit party. And I've heard people, even on mainstream talk radio locally, say that, oh, well, they couldn't have voted for Gatewood Galbraith. And it would have been a godsend if someone had voted for the late, great Gatewood Galbraith instead of either Williams or Beshear. Because like you said, we see what happened. Williams was holding on to that seat. He knew that he was in trouble with his own party. So right after he got his ass handed to him by Beshear, Beshear appoints him to be a judge. And right after that, also, his running mate, Little Richie Farmer, was shipped off to prison. So that's
right.
That was the Republican Party's babies there. That was their Mount Rushmore of Republican candidates. As I always remind them, you have David Williams, who ran off and got appointed a judge. He wouldn't ever stand up for any issues like industrial hemp or medical marijuana. And he told us to take back Kentucky. Well, he would never show up to meetings, but he told people from Take Back Kentucky that he was never going to let those issues come up when he was in charge of the Senate because he wanted to run for governor one day. Those were too controversial. And so then he, like you just said, he got appointed a judge. He's going to Black Moo Moo down there, appointed by Beshear. And his running mate, Little Richie Farmer, is in prison. And that was their best and brightest on the neocon side of the party. And that's what they want to keep reelecting it. And that's what they did.
And it's fascinating because right here in Louisville, even here in Louisville, you know, the local GOP, you know, they put a hell of a lot of time, resources, and effort behind Williams and Farmer knowing who they were and still wasting a lot of time, resources, and effort trying to build up this pig to be a viable candidate. And you had Dr. McFarland, who actually could do some damage against John Yarmuth and probably with a little bit of help would have made that a hell of a race. And you couldn't get Dr. Mack, who had credibility, who had honor, who had integrity. The party couldn't support him to go against John Yarmuth. So, it's just the establishment, man. It's really what it boils down to.
They put all their eggs in the McConnell basket. And I don't have my numbers in front of me, but how many thousands of votes did McConnell lose Jefferson County by, like 30 or 40,000?
Well, McConnell lost Jefferson County by 30 or 40,000, but McConnell always loses Jefferson County.
I know, but why did they entire county party put all their money and effort behind McConnell instead of recruiting good state House candidates? I mean, they kept talking about flip the House, flip the House. Well, that was their catchphrase this year. It's not like they haven't tried to do it before, but if you're not going to do it this year, in the year that supposedly people were out against the Democrats, they weren't out against incumbents, because as we saw, Republican incumbents kept getting reelected. So if you're not going to win the state House this year, in a year that everybody was out to get rid of the Democrats, how will the Republicans ever win the Kentucky State House?
You know, if I had the answers to that, I'd give it to you, my brother, because I still don't have a clue what in the hell these people are thinking most of the time. I You know, I get just as frustrated and flabbergasted as anybody. Don't get me wrong. In this particular election, I'm glad Mitch McConnell won. I've never backed off of that. You know, we need a different face, but we don't need Alice in Wonderland Grimes. And I really hope that her political career, for lack of a better word, if you want to call it a career, is over. But, you know, the local GOP just, you know, it always bows to the money. And quite frankly, John McCarthy is, the last I think, he's still the treasurer for the local GOP. And John McCarthy is Mitch McConnell's right-hand lobbyist, man. So,
yeah.
You know.
He makes big money lobbying, six figures in D.C. and
yeah.
Frankfurt. He's one of,
yep.
one of the top lobbyists out there. And what's funny is if you look at some of these groups where they lobby with, you look at him, you look at Ellen Williams, who's a former RPK chairman. She's a big lobbyist now. And the funniest part was when she left, being the RPK chairman, she went to be a lobbyist. Guess what firm she joined? She joined a firm that was headed by a former Democrat chairman of the state party in Kentucky. So they always talk this talk. It's just like Jesse Ventura said. It's just like professional wrestling, because on TV, and he should know something about both politics and professional wrestling, he says on TV, they want you to think that they hate each other. They're sworn enemies.
Oh, yeah.
And we see as soon as they leave the chairmanship of the Kentucky Democratic Party or the Republican Party of Kentucky, they go into lobbying groups together.
And what's, you know, what's really fascinating too is it's that's just part of the hypocrisy. For me, there's another part of the hypocrisy, and that is this: when you look at the people you're mentioning and everything else, you know, these are the people that are out there doing all these lobbying efforts, making all of this money. These are the same people who are calling me constantly and wanting me to do hit pieces against people that they're out against. You know, wanting me to give them all this free airtime, all this other shit, you know, and that's laughable to me. And, you know, and that's why I don't do it. One of the reasons we quit bringing candidates on air is, you know, because we used to have a candidate on just about every week, just about every show, actually. You know, and I stopped doing that just for that reason, because these hypocrites want us to build them up and make them credible, because our audience is the biggest in Louisville, bar none, and that would include anybody over Clear Channel and WHAS. Sorry, Terry Miners. You know, ours are legit. We can prove it. We don't have to do fake Nielsen numbers. But the reality is that they want all of that from us because they know that our listeners are the conservative voters, period. We've got the base, our people, and I'm very proud of that, and I'm proud of our listeners. So it's really funny because these guys are hypocritical across the board. You know, they want you to do everything for them, but they don't want to give you anything in return. And it's the same thing when Ed Martin ran for office. They wanted Ed Martin to do everything for him, and then they wanted to try to shut him out. They did the same thing to Dr. Mack: bring us credibility, but we're not going to help you. So they do it to anybody and everybody who actually is trying to make a difference. And that's the problem. Until we get off of this money trip and forget about those like John McCarthy and Ellen and all those folks, we're always going to have a problem.
Well, and you mentioned the local media, and you're 100% correct about the local media, because, well, we know the Courier-Journal has been nothing more than an expensive fish wrapper for a while. We know that I used to joke and say they were right below the Highlander in Louisville as far as who covers news media, but then the Highlander went out of business, so I guess I would put the Courier-Journal like right below Coffee News when it comes to reliable media. I guess you could go to the Leo, which is back in the Yarmouth family, but that's mainly if you want to find out which band's playing where, if you need a gay escort. So this is the media
right.
that you talk about in Louisville. So you mentioned paying the bills, and that's what we're going to do at the bottom of the hour here, since it's time for that break. And Ed, if you want to stick around, it's up to you, but how's this for a teaser? When I come back after we pay the bills at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to tell everybody how their public schools are going to teach their fifth graders to practice good anal sex.
Oh, boy.
How's
that
for an exciting tease? They're going to teach you about anal sex, and how your schools are going to teach your kids all about anal sex. So we'll be back with that after the bottom of the hour break. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show with your host, Dale the Truth, on the My View Matters Radio Network.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop, over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com, 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Dale, are you with us? I'm not getting any audio from you, sir.
I apologize about that, Ed. I thought I was on the air, and I guess I wasn't.
Oh, did you have your mute button on?
I guess I did, so nobody got to hear all the exciting story I was telling. I apologize.
I was actually getting ready to log into the radio show and
that's my
take
fault.
Over. I wasn't sure.
Now I got to read these gross details again because I was muted there. I apologize to the audience, but I was talking about how before the break you had talked about Illinois, so I said we go back to Illinois with this story where in Chicago that the schools are going to teach safe anal sex to the fifth graders, and the sexual education curriculum that went out to the public schools. Believe it or not, it shocked some of the parents at the Andrew Jackson Language Academy. And I was saying that sounds like a nicely named school. But basically they talked about how that they were going to teach the fifth graders how to apply male and female condoms and how the female condom could be used for anal sex. And there are pictures and diagrams. So I was saying to an audience of no one, apparently. But, Ed, doesn't that sound like what we want the kids to learn about in the schools?
Well, it's really fascinating because I tell you, it's very disturbing, and it's not that they're going to, it's that they already have and have continued it. You know, and this isn't the first time we've run into this. I mean, they're teaching the girls how to wrap their mouths around a penis and telling them the right way to do it, and then they're teaching the boys how to do, you know, how to lick a female's vagina. And I tell you, I'm shocked as always. You know, this stuff all started under Safe Schools Czar Kevin Jennings. This guy's the executive director of an organization that's called the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, or GLSN. You know, this is really strange because, you know, this is essentially, in my opinion, nothing more than the liberal gay-driven agenda. If you will, because I tell you, you know, why do I promote this being a gay versus just regular heterosexual? Well, because of the person involved. Kevin Jennings is the czar, like I said, of GLSN. It was really just his own personal thing. He was chosen by Barack Obama. There you go. Remember, Obama, he'll deny this one too, I'm sure. But he was actually chosen by President Obama to be the nation's what they call the Safe Schools Czar. And the whole mission of GLSN is really to empower gay youth in the schools. So I guess you have to do that by taking, you know, a heterosexual or at that point, we don't even know if all these kids are heterosexual at 11 years old, 10 or 11 years old. But I guess we have to take all of these kids and make them sexual perverts or sexual deviants so that we can enforce the gay agenda. And I'm not saying the gay agenda is a sexual deviancy. I mean, let everybody fight their own thing. What you do in your bedroom is your business. But this is ridiculous,
well,
man.
Right. And my thing is, if you're in the schools and you're a student in these government indoctrination camps, this free education that we are guaranteeing all the kids, if you're in the public schools, why should there be a gay or a straight agenda? Why should there just not be an educational agenda? Why should they not just be learning the classics in mathematics and social sciences and all these other categories that they should be learning? Why aren't they just learning the geometries and the algebras and those kind of things? You know, we'll throw in a PE here or there, but I really don't think that when I'm reading that they're going to teach these fifth graders that the morning after pill is not an abortion pill, and if you're 12 years or older, you should be able to get these services without parental consult or consent. I mean, to me, I've said all the time, I don't care what the gay people do in their own home. I'm not so bored that I want to go door to door. I'm not some of those neocons who are just scared to death of the gays, but I don't think that this should be done in the school system. So that's number one. And number two, I was watching a fascinating piece of a documentary this morning on the Discovery Channel talking about when we have the people like the Council of Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission start to get control over the Supreme Court way back under FDR, and everybody FDR appointed to the Supreme Court, he ultimately appointed replacements to all nine positions on the Supreme Court. And they were all Masons. And I'm sorry if people out there are Masons get offended to this, but the highest degree of Masonry, that's where they're tied in to the New World Order. And everybody talks about, oh, all these things have happened in schools, prayer out of schools and Ten Commandments out of schools. All these things happened after these people took over the Supreme Court. So that's the second thing I'd look at, is the problem is not necessarily the gay agenda, but just that this is all happening in government schools. And this is the main reason I think the answer would be to get a separation of school and state. Everyone talks about separation of church and state, which is nowhere in the Constitution. I think we definitely need a separation of school and state. Your comments, Ed?
Well, I tell you, you know, I think we definitely need to get away from the public school system as we now know it, or as they've turned it into. I mean, this has turned into nothing but a living nightmare for most parents. I mean, for one thing, you know, let's go ahead and look at this. When you're teaching a fifth grader and telling them to use lots of lube before you insert your penis into her ass, I mean, we've got a serious problem here when that takes precedence over teaching proper math skills. We've got stories around the country right now, thanks to the new curriculums and everything else that this government has put together, that, you know, there are lots of kids who are getting failing grades in school, for example, doing algebra equations. They're getting the right answers, but the teachers and stuff don't like the fact that they are using the old way, you know, the way we were taught on how to come up with this when they're detailing their work, because they didn't use a new way of math that can give them multiple answers on a math question. That's a problem for some reason. We've gotten to the point where we are focusing so hard on dumbing down our children and our future to create the next mind slaves for the factory production that the rich elite want. And unfortunately, I have to start agreeing with you on a lot of that. You know, we've got to use sex as a weapon to fifth and sixth graders. And this isn't the worst of it, Dale. We also have stories coming out of California where some sex ed teachers there are taking sex toys, dildos and stuff, and showing the classes how to insert the sex toys. Now, they're not actually literally dropping their underwear, but they're placing them against the certain parts of their body and you know, visually showing them an image of what they have to do and all these other things. When was school about teaching kids sexual deviancy? And at that age, it is sexual deviancy versus reading, writing, arithmetic. It's a disturbing thing.
I guess they teach the sexuality stuff in theory during the classroom, Ed. And then after the class is over, it's where we hear about all these female teachers that are having sex with the students. So I guess that's where they have to put the studies into practice, is when they get together with the teachers and have sex after class.
Well, I guess the teachers are getting horny during the demonstrations. I mean, what other way do you put it? It really is a simple thing.
It's a lot different from teaching reproduction. I mean, I can remember when I was that age, you had to get a parental slip signed just to teach about reproduction, but they weren't teaching about sexual activity. They were just teaching about what's natural and scientific. I mean, the fact that we have all the teenage pregnancy that we do, and the answer isn't, oh, well, you don't want them to have abortions. So it's they should be thinking about what they're doing before they do things that have responsibilities. Like you said, the math, it totally changed the math system. So there's nothing like that before. But this bottomless pit that they're going down, like I said, it's very strange and bizarre that all the federal tax dollars that they take us and spend on this kind of behavior. And I used to say that they were, you know, just figuratively bending us over with tax dollars, but I guess now it's literally bending over kids in the classroom.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I for one, I mean, there is no parent, well, I think most parents anyway, don't have a problem with sex education in school. You know, we were teaching sex ed, you know, back in the 70s and 80s when I was in school, to teach basic sex education, mm-hmm. you know, child reproduction, all the other things, you know, you insert your penis in the vagina. That's all, to me, is a normal part, as you pointed out, of science and nature. But to get into, you know, I mean, I'm waiting for them to start, you know, teaching kids, you know, everything about, you know, well, deep throat. When do you start teaching about violent sex? You know, when do you start teaching that kind of stuff? When do you start teaching them about choking out, you know, during ejaculation, all the other crazy shit? I mean you know, where is the line? Where is the line?
That's probably where we get rid of football because it's too violent, and God forbid a kid plays hockey or rugby because they might have a concussion. But we'll replace those with the aforementioned activities that Ed mentioned. I wouldn't know what to call those activities.
You know, you bring that up, and I tell you what, it's funny to me. I started laughing when you mentioned football because, I mean, you're absolutely right. These liberals will sit out here and scream and holler and raise a ruckus because Washington calls their team the Redskins, and they may find that offensive to some Indian somewhere when most Indians are like, get a grip, right? But they don't have any problem teaching a five-year-old how to have anal sex. I mean, that's just crazy. They have a big problem with somebody, you know, in the NFL punching their girlfriend back who had been punching him and suspending him and taking him out of the NFL forever, you know, Ray Rice, right? And here we've got Adrian Peterson who just got nailed beating kids, You know, so he's been paid all the way up through today, and now he'll be suspended for the rest of the season without pay, so he loses four games pay, basically. You know,
when
it's
they first
okay
brought
to get
up the thing, that if you noticed, Ed, the media was very gentle. They danced around the topic because they would just quickly get into their commentary that, oh, this is sometimes acceptable child rearing and punishment and corporal punishment in some homes. They didn't want to come out and offend black people because they know a lot of black families in the South use corporal punishment. They're not afraid of sparing the rod, or they don't spare the rod because they don't want to spoil the child, to use that biblical line. But they were very careful because they didn't want to offend black people. And that's what I thought was funny, because there are a lot of families in the South, much more than the North, for many geopolitical economical reasons, that believe and punish your children this way. And how do you even get, since we're on that tangent or that co-tangent, how do you even get to suspending a guy for a whole season from his job for the way he raised his children? And basically the reason that they put the punishment so hard down on him is because he didn't come and apologize. He didn't come and get forgiveness from the Shield, from the NFL, for what he did. He stood by the way that he disciplined his kids, and he didn't come and beg for mercy and forgiveness. He said, no, this is what I do. Sometimes my kidney's punished. And that's the thing, is they want to do this to him. And like you said, they think it's horrible if someone gets a concussion in a game where you hit people, and you know that's part of it going into it. But, yeah, they want to suspend him for the way he disciplines his kids.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, but you know, if you look at the broader, I mean, the hypocrisy is this. You know, we want to scream and holler, you can't touch your kids, you can't touch your kids. This isn't the first time Adrian Peterson has been looked at for that. It's just been hidden until now, because this is the first time that the mother of one of those kids didn't care that it went out publicly. So that is an issue in itself. You know, and I don't condone, you know, spousal abuse or men hitting women or anything like that, but the reality is, you know, Ray Rice, essentially, by the time he hit her, had already been smacked around and knocked around and everything else. You know, she created a lot of that. He was basically a defensive mechanism. How much do you take? And I'm not ever going to side with Ray Rice on hitting her. But he lost his whole career over that stuff, you know, and they're finally going to get an appeal hearing now, but he lost a whole career over that, you know, for something that could arguably be self-defense, whether you would agree or not. And here Adrian Peterson is, you know, beating the shit out of four-year-olds, and, you know, he gets paid leave for the season. And now that, you know, there's these other cases that have come forward, now they're going back again. It's like, oh, well, we'll just suspend you for the rest of the year. He's had preferential treatment from the beginning, as a point, because Adrian Peterson is a better marquee name than Ray Rice. And, you know, that's the big issue. And that's the problem with the liberals in this country. It's all the liberal hypocrisy. You know, if you want to look, you bring the black dynamic into it. Let's look at Ferguson right now. Go to Ferguson, Missouri. That decision has already been made. There is no doubt about it. They're going to exonerate Officer Darren Wilson, as they should. If that decision wasn't made already, the governor would never have went out and went ahead and deployed the National Guard yesterday. He would have never put out the orders for that. Everything is set up because they know rioting and looting is going to go on. And what is going on with the rioting and looting? Why are these people destroying their own neighborhood? It's ridiculous.
Well, some of them are destroying their own. But some of them are, quote unquote, smartening up or wising up, and they'll tell you to go into these other neighborhoods. And that I walk a fine line with this, because I don't like the government abuse. But when the FBI comes out yesterday and the FBI puts out a warning to law enforcement agencies that there will be violence by, quote unquote, extremist protesters, to me, that's what they want. I mean, I am all for nonviolent protesting, and I think that nonviolent protesting and non-consent are important in society, because I don't believe in the state. I believe in the society. I don't believe in the state. And the government, mainly the FBI, is warning that there will be violence. So we know they want that. We know they want people to lash out violently, because then here come the police. And God knows the police never do anything wrong. They never do anything to anybody when they don't have it coming, wink, wink. So they know once those citizens who can't behave themselves start acting out, they can use one of their new police toys. Go ahead.
Oh, sure. Well, they create the police state, you know. They do that. It's all self-sabotage. It's intentional as hell. You know, it's really interesting, too, when you look at all of this into play and you look at the dynamics in play. I mean, let's look at the next liberal agenda. The Democrats created the KKK. The Democrats support the KKK. Now that we know that there's a possibility, of course, I'm 99% sure it's going to come back with no indictment. You know, I'll never say 100% because they always say that 1%. But now that we know that there is a real possibility that there's going to be no indictment and the people in Ferguson and St. Louis are going to explode, as well as other cities around the country, including right here in Louisville, we're going to have an explosion ourselves. And nobody wants to believe it, but I'm telling you that. But now that we know all of this, we bring the KKK in to make it worse.
Right.
The Democrats are promoting that lie.
There's a group called the RBG Black Rebels, which I guess is a more hyped up steroid version of the White Panthers, that put out a $5,000 hit on the head of police officer Darren Wilson's whereabouts. And they offered $5,000, anybody can tell them, where Wilson is. And they claim, oh, they just want to get his photo. But they have these incendiary Twitter feeds where they say, quote, ammunition will solve our problems. Well, I believe everybody should have ammunition. But again, when we know this was not one of those cases of somebody who had the wrong house or the wrong person, because God knows I can go to copblock.org where they will preach that, you know, extra little shiny badges shouldn't give you extra rights. And there are a lot of cases that we have documented well before on this show and on yours and others on this network about when the police go in and just want to play God with people. Oh, so we had the wrong house. Sorry. Oops, we need some new revenue, so we're going to take that plant that you have one little weed marijuana cigarette of. Johnny got busted on his family's farms. Oops, we got to take all 200 acres. We know what the police state is capable of, but like I said, don't give them what they want. And this is one of those cases where, unfortunately, this Michael Brown character was not an innocent little kid. They did the same crap they did with the Trayvon case. They painted him to be a little kid. He was 6-foot-something, 300-some pounds, and he had just stolen expensive cigars from a store. So we know he was already the criminal element, so we know what's going on there. I'm not going to get into the whole last few minutes of our show about what did he or didn't do, did he have his hands up or whatever. Well, you know what? When someone has a gun about to commit a crime, they do have their hand up because they got to point that weapon. And again, this is not one of those cases where the police just went and played God with an innocent bystander. So we want people to be protesting things. I think that's part of that freedom of speech we talked about in the First Amendment at the top of the show. But when this radical black group is putting a bounty on the police officer's head, and they have a what they call a fuck the police rally.
Well, you know, yeah, and I tell you, it just gets to you. I mean, it's going to continue to get worse. The police state is alive and well, and I think it's going to get worse. When you've got the liberal media out there once again, you know, now they're trying to promote the KKK. The KKK is not going to be stupid enough to go into Ferguson and St. Louis. One thing about the KKK,
anybody claims to be KKK is probably already a government infiltrator. I mean, that's been over the last 20 years. If you found a group, if you could actually find a group of people wearing their old soiled bed sheets in public, usually about 20-30% of them were government agents.
Well, if you notice, you're right. And if you notice, if you think about the KKK historically, and you note the things that they've done, I mean, I hate them guys. If there's an organization that I truly hate, it's any racist organization there is, and the KKK certainly qualifies as one. But when you look at this, what does the KKK do? They announce in advance they're coming. They make sure they get the permits to be there. They do their marches with full police protection. And why do they do that? So they can sit out there and spew their hate-filled speech, their First Amendment right, and not have to worry about getting hurt. All right? You know, they do most of their damage at night. They do it under the cover of darkness. That's when they go out and light the crosses and all the other stuff. So, you know, when you look at the KKK historically, oh, they're a bunch of hate mongers, and they create fear in just about everybody. But the reality is they're probably the biggest pussies, for lack of a better word, there are out there, because all they give a shit about is making sure they don't get hurt. So to think that the KKK is actually going to go in some significance whatsoever, because KKK is so far down on members, thank God. I don't think they could put together a national movement today. But to think that they're going to show up in Ferguson and St. Louis after realizing that the police couldn't even protect themselves during the riots, and they're going to go out there and put their bodies at risk and their lives at risk, and that's exactly what they'd be doing. That defies the logic of what the KKK has always been about. They are protectionists, first and foremost.
Yeah, and we might go to overdrive for a moment here, but if you can find actual KKK member out there, and you can prove that they're not a government infiltrator, then it's like going to be finding a horned frog out in your backyard where they want to call it a wetland. So I don't, quote-unquote, hate the KKK, because that's like saying that I hate somebody who's 8 foot tall and solid green, because I don't see
them. I hate
them.
What they represent. I hate.
Well, I mean,
what
I don't see them. I don't see real KKK members. I haven't sent any invites by them on Facebook or Twitter. I don't see them out there because they're not real. They're usually government.
I unfortunately got to witness a lot of that craziness back in the late 70s. You know, back in the late 70s. You had your czar down in Shepherdsville, right? They had this farmland out in Shepherdsville. They met at all the time, and these people were scary. And you know, at the time, I lived on the edge of Jefferson County, right next to Maryville. So you know, I did a lot of running in Shepherdsville as much as I did there in Louisville. And you know, there's nothing scarier than ending up at one of those places one night because you get lost. And I tell you, to see that hate and listen to that crap, and I wasn't there 10 minutes just trying to figure out a way to get the hell out of Shepherdsville and back to the road to bring me home, it was very disturbing. It made a lasting impression on me that's been in my whole life. So, you know, these weren't government agents, in my opinion. These were nothing but a bunch of rednecks who just love to hate. So,
well,
you know,
to me, it all seems like it's by design. Again, if they can get a group to come in here, if they can get a group of 20 people, albeit 18 government agents, and two legitimate KKK members, and they'll call that 20-man group the Ku Klux Klan, that's going to help them because that's going to get the violence that the government wants. They want you to use violence so they can use it back. And we are getting ready to go into overdrive, so we appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us, Mr. Springsteen. But that's what the government wants. So to get to our closing comments here, they want bloodshed. They want you to fight them that way because then they're winning the battle. But the problem is they want to take away your weapons and your way of defending yourself. And our forefathers didn't go out and shed their blood at Guadalcanal, Normandy, and Quezon so that we might surrender our weapons for nothing more than Michael Bloomberg's 30 pieces of silver. It sucks that these people want to burn down the area and burn down the community. It sucks that so many of them don't have enough brain cells to rub together to know a different way to handle these things than to catch things on fire and riot and loot and pillage and plunder. But it's by design. This stuff is all set up. This is all by design. They want to bound together all these groups of people and say, see, this is the infiltration. This is the writing. Now we've got to get out our new police toys. There's a reason that this industrial complex that Dwight D. Eisenhower warned everybody about his farewell speech is alive and well. You got to have these wars around the world, people, to keep them in business, or those people would have to go out and get real jobs. They couldn't run the Raytheons and the companies that Dick Cheney was behind. They couldn't get behind the Halliburtons and these companies that do nothing but produce military weaponry if they didn't have somewhere to play with their new toys. Same thing goes for the police state, folks. They hate the truth because truth is hate to them. Homeland Security sending out enforcement teams in neighborhoods, the United States of America is not the way it's supposed to be. When you have drones flying around Ferguson, that's not the way it's supposed to be. So spread the word around you, inform the people around you, because you can bet they won't do a damn thing to stop the thugs. They're only going to harass the good people for our safety, of course. You decide if it's for your safety. Everybody's tired of waiting for the outcome of this stupid trial. Get it over with already. All they're going to do is give the rally people more time to set up protests and more times to pillage and plunder. Stand up to the false charade and tell them death to your new world order.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!